Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley, and we have a real treat tonight. The Houston Chronicle's Joseph Duarte, who has been covering the Cougars, is here to give us a preview of what the Illini are walking into tomorrow or Sunday, depending on when you're listening to it. Might be a few hours from game time. We're going to see what the Illini are walking into. So thank you for coming on, sir. We really appreciate your time. How long have you been covering the Cougars?
This is my 10th year.
Wow. Okay.
I've been there for the entire Kelvin Sampson era.
Yeah. And Illini fans, they have some enmity towards him due to the Eric Gordon recruiting where he flipped over. And then there were some charges that got out there against Bruce Weber that people got frustrated about. So he's definitely one of the people who are on the Illini fans list. I don't think that bothers Kelvin very much, but
no, and actually he still has a great relationship with Eric Gordon from when he was with the Rockets.
Yep.
And Eric Gordon is a frequent visitor courtside at Houston basketball games. So the relationship's still there, and Kelvin thinks the world of Eric Gordon and vice versa.
Yep. And it's, you can totally see that what was a great jumping off point for a very long and profitable pro career. So one could not blame him at all for that. As we look here, Illini fans are very aware of Houston's reputation as being one of the toughest defensive teams in the country. That's the way Coach Sampson's teams play anyway. Not surprising that he's got that built in. What's the personality of this team for you as somebody who's close to them and gets to see them regularly?
Well, I mean, it's two different personalities. They began the season needing to replace the bulk of the starting lineup that went to the Final Four last year. And then things fell apart in December when their two best guards, Marcus Sasser, who was sort of a dark horse, all-American type guy, broke his foot. And that was the one that came out of nowhere. And then they also had their other guard, Tremont Mark, tear his labrum. So between December 23rd and Christmas Day, they lose their two top guards. The depth of the team takes a big hit. And then, they're dealing with a COVID pause. And then the start of conference play. So, I mean, a lot of things happen, and they responded by winning 12 in a row. You would think that they would have maybe lost a step or, needed some time to get together. But, I think that's the Kelvin Sampson influence. He mixed in some transfers with what they've had. And they've only lost three times since December 11th. So to be 30-5 going into another game that has implications to reach another Sweet 16, tremendous job. This is probably his best coaching job that he's done in his 30 plus years, but certainly wasn't easy. And if you would have told me that they would be at this point with the personnel that they lost and what they had to replace, I wouldn't have thought that they'd win the American Conference, much less, be in the round of 32.
It's an excellent job by him. As we look at things, you've got a team here that's very well balanced in the scoring. What can the Illini look from? The Illini is going to play tough defense. They like to go over the top of picks. They like to, try to make sure that nothing's easy for the guards. And of course, you've got Kofi in the middle that he's not the greatest shot blocker in the world, though he had quite a game against Chattanooga from that standpoint. But just 7 foot and 290 pounds tends to make people decide that there's other places you can make a living. What offensively, what can Illinois look for from this team?
Well, it'll be hard for Houston to duplicate the first half that they had against UAB. They hit 9 threes. They average 8 for the game this season. So, they were extremely hot. Kyler Edwards, he's the Texas Tech transfer. As a freshman, he played in the national championship game for Texas Tech. So he slid into that role when Marcus Sasser went down as kind of the go-to scorer. And then the sophomore point guard, Jamal Shedd, Guy's got 210 assists. His vision for his age, the ability for him to not have very many turnovers and to really be a facilitator has been a huge plus this year. So really with the guards, and then you throw in an athletic guard with Tajay Moore. So I'm really interested. I think the guard matchups will be really interesting. What happens is with Houston's injuries, it sort of opened up them to be able to go run things more through their post. And that's not something that has generally been the case with Kelvin Sampson teams here at Houston. And the main guy has been Josh Carlton. They picked him up through the transfer portal. He's 6'10", about 245. So that's still small, big Kobe, you know, Kobe standards.
Yeah.
He came over from UConn, and he's been a guy that they've gone to and in the American with not as much the physical outside of Memphis, not as many physical, you know, bigger teams. You know, he was able to do a lot in conference play, and he's a guy that can catch, you know, catch fire and put up some points in a hurry. And then you have, you know, the veteran, the calming influence of the group, Fabian White Jr. He's the all-time winningest player in the school's history, and a guy that's, you know, sort of developed his game from being a guy with the back against the goal to more of a, you know, he added a three-point shot, and, you know, he had, I believe it was close to 43s this year. So he's sort of an inside outside threat. So, I mean, like you said, they're balanced, but in most situations, that their offense feeds off their defense, and they are one of the best defensive teams in the country, number one in field goal percentage and top 10 and scoring, allowing about 50-something a game. So it's what you would expect. I mean, this is going to be a physical, tough it out kind of game. You know, Houston will chase those loose balls. You'll see them do a lot of things with, like, tips. They like to extend plays, you know, offensive rebounds. And they just do all the hustle plays that lead to extra possessions, that lead to points. And, you know, if you like those kind of games, if you like, you know, 50s, 60s type games, this is probably the one that you'll get on Sunday.
Yeah, we're hoping they don't get too hot, because, you know, Illinois has been hot and cold. They've had good halves of offense. They have not had a great game of offense probably since defeating Michigan up in Ann Arbor. And, you know, they were, it seems, you know, if you go back and really parse it out, looks like they really had a challenge. They had their own injury issues with Curbelo missing 12 games, Austin Hutcherson, the 6'7 wing, out for the season and maybe potentially for his college career. And it's just been an interesting time for the Illini, and they really haven't hit their stride from an offensive standpoint after the COVID break. They had more consistency prior to that. When we look at this team, is Carlton a guy who can pull Kofi out and hit from outside, or is he a guy who's going to be more like you know, Trace Jackson Davis of Indiana, who's got to try to find a way to go at the big guy and get some points on the inside?
Yeah, it's more the latter. Carlton doesn't roam or venture out too much, you know, from outside the, you know, the lane there. And what Houston does, you know, they have what they call a monster trap that they utilize, and it's really the same game plan for all the bigs that they play. But again, you know, Kelvin Sampson said in the press conference prior to the game that there's nobody comparable to Kofi in terms of size and it's not just dunks. You know, he pointed out the skill set that he has, and, you know, everything from the little floaters to being able to, you know, move around. And he also complimented Brad Underwood for, you know, where they put him. He's not necessarily posting up, you know, on the block. You know, they bring him in the middle of the lane, and, you know, that's one of the tougher areas to defend. So, you know, Carlton is the guy that they'll put on him. I expect, you know, White and Reggie Chaney, who's from Arkansas. I think all those guys, it's going to be sort of a all hands on deck kind of approach Maybe try to get him into, you know, if you can get him into the line. You know, he's only hitting about 63%. So, and had some misses in the Chattanooga game. But Houston doesn't have that luxury that Chattanooga had. You know, they would like to foul, and they think that, you know, there's some you know, strategy in that. But, you know, Kelvin Sampson goes with a 7 and maybe an 8-man rotation. So when they struggle this season, it's because Josh Carlton is in foul trouble and is on the bench. It's the same thing with Fabian White. Those are the two guys in the front court that are most accessible to being in foul trouble. So there's a give and take on that. And, you know, there's a fine line in terms of, you know, if they get any of those guys in trouble and they're on the bench for extended minutes, that certainly will play into Illinois' hands.
I was also reading an article, and there was a very interesting talking about the athleticism of Tazay Moore. Mm-hmm. Can you describe that? Because when I read through that article, I was like, holy cow, this guy sounds like one of those athletes that the NBA must be just going, you know,
I mean, he's like savoring. He's like Harlem Globetrotters meets Circus du Soleil slash NFL combine receiver. I mean, he's got sort of a mix. I mean, it's a fascinating story. He started his career at Cal State Bakersfield, and he was unaware that he had a lower leg injury, and he was going up for a dunk, and he suffered multiple fractures in one of his legs. And it was about a 600 and change layoff day-wise that he didn't play. It was almost 2 years and had 5 surgeries. And, you know, this is a guy who back home in Mississippi, he was legendary. They got him to try out for the track team and do the high jump. And he went out there not knowing how to do the, you know, the traditional, you know, the running up to the pole and arching your back and doing all that stuff. And he hurdled it like a hurdle. And everybody was like, oh my God. And he ended up winning the district championship by being a hurdler on the high jump. So he's athletic, you know. Here in Houston, the best thing that we have to compare in terms of the basketball program is Phi Slamma Jamma. And that had Clyde Drexler and Hakeem Olajuwon and Michael Young. They were sort of along with Louisville, they were the original dunk masters. And I've talked to several members of those teams, and they say Tazay Moore would fit in perfect with them. He's that kind of athletic specimen. They were joking and playing around prior to on Thursday's practice day, and somebody took a picture of him. He leaped and he elevated so high that he kissed the rim with, you know, I mean, his mouth was inches from the rim. So, I mean, the guy's got hops. I mean, he can do so many things, and they've sort of taught him that it's not just about the as Kelvin Sansa put it, being an Instagram dunker and all that stuff. He uses it to his advantage. He's so explosive that he can get down court, and you think you have an easy layup, and he's blocking the shot. You know, he'll explode on fast breaks where the point guard shed, you know, tosses balls off the backboard and dunks. I mean, I haven't seen anybody of his caliber athleticism. And, you know, I've been in the business for 25 years, and he's just, as one guy put it, he was built in a science lab.
Holy cow. That sounds like that is going to be a real opportunity. I almost can anticipate he's going to have one dramatic dunk at least, and probably one spectacular block shot. Hopefully the Illini will figure out that he can't block them all. But I saw that article and I thought, holy cow, we have to ask about that, because like you said, it's almost like a carnival act out there with that ability.
And there's probably, I mean, I don't know all 68 teams, but I would really, it would be a stretch for me to think that there's somebody that athletic in the field. And, you know, and he's not being cocky or, you know, the bravado, but he said, look, if there's someone out there, I'd love to have a jump off with them. So, I mean, he's a fun kid, but, you know, he's got things that can't be taught, you know, that stuff that he was born with. And his grandmother named him Tigger, and because he hasn't stopped bouncing. So the name fits, and you know he's about a 10-12 point scorer. He's got that capability a little bit more, but his contributions really come on those plays where, I mean, you'll see him come out of nowhere and grab a rebound or do something athletically that extends a possession. So, I mean, he really finds a lot of different ways to make an impact.
Yeah, the hustle is something that's going to be really a challenge, you know, especially when you have that athleticism that's you know, being fueled by hustle. If you had to put down a if you had to give a prediction, what would your prediction for the game be?
You know, when I was watching the Chattanooga game, the first thought in my mind was, you know, last year the bracket in the Midwest set up so perfect for Houston, where they didn't have to beat one single digit seed to get to the Final Four. And one of them that lost was Illinois. And, you know, you're looking and you're like thinking to yourself, is this going to be a repeat? You know, are they not going to have to play Illinois again? And then you look at the rest of the bracket, that at least sets them up to get to the second weekend. You know, I think it comes down to what Illinois are you going to get? You know, are you going to get the one that, like you said, can you know, have a really good offensive game and get the ball to Kofi and do something? Or are you going to get the last 10 games and the team that only led for 25 seconds against Chattanooga? So that's where, you know, I think Houston can pull this off. I think Houston is a second weekend team. I don't think they go as far like next year because, you know, obviously Arizona would probably be the team that awaits in the Sweet 16. I have this, you know, Houston winning, but by a slim, you know, we're talking two possession type game. I think this is, you know, down to the last few games. You know, the last few years, Houston has gone toe-to-toe with Kentucky. You know, they've gone toe-to-toe with, you know, Syracuse, and then they've had Ohio State. So, you know, they're familiar with this. And even though they're new players, they have an edge about them. And they know that nobody's picking them. People counted them out way back in December. And this is a team that fell behind 20 to Wisconsin and almost came back and won. They should have beat Alabama on the road and lost on a no call on a goaltend at the buzzer. And then, you know, they played a Memphis team that, you know, now that Penny Hardaway's got his team healthy, you know, they're dangerous. They're athletic. And, you know, they have, you know, Gonzaga in the second round. So, you know, for not having the quad one wins and everything that went against them, and that's why they got the 5 seed. I think Houston is better than a 5 seed. And that's why I think they pulled this one out. Plus, it's only a 3-hour drive from Houston to San Antonio. They would love nothing more than to play in basically their backyard in the second weekend. And you gotta figure the Kelvin Sampson angle. He's really good on short time in preparing. He makes the adjustments. I mean, the guy, what he's done at Houston, it's been phenomenal. So it would not shock me the least to see them advance to the Sweet 16. But like we talked earlier, if the three things that really have hurt them this year rear their head, they could be in trouble. You know, fouls, and when they get to the free throw line, they struggle with free throws. And then you sort of, from an offensive standpoint, you never know if they're going to be on or not. You know, that Tyler Edwards had 25 the other night. He could go for 10 against Illinois. So they don't have a lot of guys that will necessarily, you know, come back and can give you that 20 points that you're missing or whatever. But, you know, they're balanced, but we're not going to, you know, see very many 80 plus point games out of them. They keep it pretty low in the 60s, 70s. So I expect a close game. I'm having Houston advance, but this one's going to be a tough one.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an exciting game. I think it's going to, you know, especially if both teams are hitting or both teams are not hitting, I think it's going to be a nail biter for both sets of fans, you know, which, you know, it is what it is. As Illinois fans, unfortunately, the last, you know, 12 games or so, you know, the Illini are pretty much darn near even Steven in terms of points scored versus points given up. So it has been a challenge as an Illini fan in terms of just the stress levels of people as they watch the games. But, you know, the bottom line, you know, that we've, you know, as somebody who's been a long time Illini fan, you know, in the 80s, it seemed like Illinois would find ways to lose the Chattanooga game when it came into the NCAAs, whether it was, you know, losing to Pace Manion in Utah with a much higher ranked Illinois team, whether it was having the bizarre calls at Rupp Arena when the travel that didn't happen to Dickie Beal that Illinois lost, you know, on Kentucky's home court. But there was always like a storyline that ended up with right. Illinois finding a way to lose. Brad Underwood got them past a speed bump that in the past they probably wouldn't have gotten around. But now this is the second year in a row that they've had to face a team that is much better on KenPom and Torvik than what they were from a seeding standpoint. Loyola, Chicago last year, you know, most of the folks at Illini guys, we were like, oh my gosh, if you look at this team, how did they end up seeded this low? And we look at Houston and we're like, how did this team get seeded this low? So it's going to be a tough one for Illinois. There's no real room for them to have an off shooting night. You're going to need to have Plummer have a good night, and you need either Curbelo or Frazier to do well. Coleman Hawkins at 6'10 is very, very athletic. And when he's playing well, he's added a lot to the Illini team. And Kofi's Kofi, you know, I mean, he doesn't get much credit. He ends up, you know, I think you saw last night there was probably, you probably could have called 20 fouls on right. the team against him. It's a frustrating thing for Illini fans as you watch a game, you know, when you have to watch him get hit in the head by somebody. And then you listen to a guy like Reggie Miller, or even they brought in the dude from the referee from New York, you know, and oh yeah, you can get hit in the head. And you're like, well, gee, when Johnny Davis gets hit in the head, it's a two shot flagrant foul. And, you know, and when Kofi gets hit in the head, he got hit in the head, you know, don't worry about it. And I think he runs into the same problems that Shaq ran into, where he's just hard to referee.
Right. I mean, he's going to draw the attention there, and, you know, it's, sometimes they get the call, sometimes they don't, most of the times they don't. So, I can see, you know, Brad Underwood said today, look, he's seen it all. He's dealt with it all. And he even acknowledged there was some frustration when Kofi got to the free throw line. I think he was 5 of 10 in that first round game. So, you know, those are the things that, you know, if you know, I'm not saying you rattle a guy, but if you can sort of get him into one of those situations again, that's, you know, maybe that's where Houston takes advantage. But, you know, for whatever ailments Houston has or struggles on offense, they always seem to sort of offset things with their defense. I mean, they play as hard a defense as any team, you know, I've seen, and they're good. You know, they played Virginia this year, and I know Virginia had sort of a down year, but I think Virginia scored 40 something points in that game.
Yep.
So I mean, that was one of those, you look up at, you know, it doesn't matter what year it is, it's still Virginia. And, you know, they had some other games like that. So they're capable of shutting you down, or at least, you know, making it where, you know, they can offset a mediocre, you know, shooting night with a really good night defensively.
Yeah. And that's exactly what the Illini have done way too often for Illini fans. Comfort level, even last night, holding Chattanooga to 27% shooting in the second half. And, you know, that was probably the only thing that kept them in a game that was just played pretty poorly on the offensive end of the court. One question I had for you, and then, you know, we can kind of close this out, but one of the things I'm watching as I listen to different and read different articles across the country, what are the Houston players saying about the new basketballs? It's kind of been, it just been kind of fun for me to kind of keep track. Have they said anything to you about that? Cause we've seen different teams complain about it. Like, you know, they're taking weird bounces off the rim and they don't like the color and the texture isn't right. So I was just curious, have you heard anything from the Houston team?
You know, no, we haven't. And, you know, if I'm Kyler Edwards, I want them to change that ball, you know, permanently. So you know, I haven't heard too much. I do recall that there was one player from Illinois that was asked today. It might have been Plummer, but one of it came up and he jumped on it immediately and said, "Yeah, I do notice something different." He mentioned that in the Big Ten, I guess they're mostly Adidas or Nike balls, maybe. And then for some reason, I'm not sure which ball they're using here in the NCAA tournament, but they're certainly a lot brighter orange. Yeah. That's one thing I've seen a lot of people talking about, but I'm not sure exactly if they're talking about the feel of it, or, you know, if it, you know, it's got to have the same amount of air in it. So I'm not sure if it's just the grip or what. You know, there weren't a lot in the game that I covered the first night. There weren't a lot of turnovers where you just said, "Hey, that ball slipped out of someone's hand" or anything like that. They were clear, you know, mental mistakes. But no, Houston's group hasn't brought it up or hasn't said anything that it's, you know, affected them. Heck, you know, they scored 80 plus points, and they rarely do that. So they would probably be in favor of whatever they're doing to the basketballs.
Perfect. Well, hey, thanks so much for coming. You're listening to Joseph Duarte of the Houston Chronicle. If you get an opportunity, I've been covering the Houston Cougars for a decade now, and you can get some fantastic coverage of that basketball program. Go down there, take a look at it. That's how I did it. And the other thing is when you talk to the Houston Sports Information Director, they say, "Hey, there's really one place that you need to go if you want to get great coverage," and that's Joseph. So to me, that tells me that you're the man when it comes to the Houston Cougars. So good luck tomorrow covering that game, and hopefully we'll have an entertaining game. Obviously, you're wanting the Cougars to go to San Antonio, and we're hoping the Illini get there.
I'll go to San Antonio regardless. In Texas, you gotta go to San Antonio when you can. You know, on a side note, when I covered the Big 12 and the Texas Longhorns back in the, you know, 2005, 2010, that was the, you know, Kevin Durant year and stuff. Yep. I actually was in Indianapolis when Illinois reached the Final Four. And if I'm not mistaken, they might have been undefeated going into the Final Four, maybe had one loss. I think that might have been Darren Williams.
Yep.
And, you know, I was there when they lost. So I may not be the best Lucky Charm or reporter to be covering this game for them. But no, I do remember just the buzz around that team because they were really good. And a lot of people thought that they would win the title. And I believe Florida.
North Carolina got him on that one. And it was basically, it was an interesting thing. James Augustine, I think, ended up fouling out, playing like less than 8 minutes. And then that allowed Sean May? I think the younger May, not Scott, was the one in Indiana, and his son, Sean, allowed him to go kind of wild on the Illini. The one weakness they had that year was they really had Augustine in the center position. He's really more of a power forward. And they had one loss. I think Ohio State beat them the last game of the regular season. And then the second loss was to North Carolina. That's one of the things, you know, where the national media doesn't give Illinois a lot of respect because they haven't been able to close the deal. Not that it's this generation of players, not that it's Brad Underwood, but in the past, you know, the 2005 team wasn't able to close the deal. The 1989 team lost on a air ball that got rebounded in the last second by Michigan. And so a Michigan team that they had beaten twice by 20 points, you know, beat them by one in a Final Four game. And then you have quite a few upsets over the years. So it would be great to see the Illini kind of take that step forward to the Sweet 16. And you know, obviously further, they played Arizona extremely tough. It was a game that went down to the last 30 seconds. Illinois was down by one or two, ended up losing by 4 points, and Curbelo was injured that game. It was at the State Farm Center, so admittedly Illinois had the home court advantage, but that Arizona team's a tough team, and whether it's Illinois or Houston, or, you know, assuming that, that they don't get some sort of upset, Arizona's going to stretch any, if you're going to beat Arizona, you're going to have to play extremely well.
Right. And, you know, the, and I'll end it on this. It was fascinating. Houston and Illinois have combined for 11 Final Fours and have yet to win a national championship. Houston obviously has the most of any team not to win it. And Illinois is tied with Oklahoma, but that's amazing. And for all the near misses that you mentioned, Houston fans can relate, you know, the Jim Valvano moment with North Carolina State, that on the putback dunk there at the buzzer, that's goes down as one of the biggest upsets in tournament history. And when you have five slamma jamma and you go to three straight national championships, you lose to Patrick Ewing and Georgia and the other championship game, then you face North Carolina and one. They've had their share too. So hopefully at some point one of these programs has a breakthrough. They're certainly due. A lot of history. So it'll be fun to see two teams that wouldn't normally play each other during the season match up with pretty high stakes come Sunday.
Yeah, that five slamma jamma game versus Louisville, I still say is the greatest college game maybe ever played. And certainly if they played NC State 100 times, that may be the only outcome that NC State wins or even keeps close. And then the next year, while I was a huge fan of both Hakeem and Patrick Ewing, I felt like the guys in the blue and white stripes denied America a really great matchup because they wanted to call the fouls. I've long been a proponent of six fouls for college basketball, or even after five, you know, give an extra free throw if that person, you know, gets a foul, because it is just to see those great players again is in my, you know, maybe a junior in high school or something like that. But, you know, to me, that was one of the great disappointments athletically was wanting to see these two and see how well they matched up. And before you knew it, you know, it was kind of one guy got granted the win due to that. And we're just reading something about that where Houston's definitely number one with six, and then there's Illinois, you know, pulling up right behind them. But
Olajuwon got payback many years later, yes, in the NBA Finals. So
yes, he did.
So anyway, well, yes. No, thank you for having me on, and I look forward to the game on Sunday.
Excellent. Well, good luck to you and your team, and we will maybe we'll see. This might become an annual thing because this could be our second year in a row. Maybe over the years, this will become one of those rivalries that we'll see in the NCAA every year.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, sir. And if you enjoyed Eye on the Illini, we have two other podcasts that you can subscribe to. That would be Sturdy for 30 with Brad Sturdy, the Uber Illini Insider, and Ked's Recruiting Roundup with Kedrick Prince, our Director of Recruiting. We also have the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. That's a two-hour radio experience every Friday or Saturday, depending on what market you're in. If you go to IlliniGuys.com and you click on radio, you will see all the members of the Illini Guys Radio Network. There are 25 stations that broadcast our show, and you can take a look at where is closest to you, what day it's on, and what time it's on. If you enjoy the show, all we ask of you is to give that radio station a quick call or drop them an email and thank them for putting us on the air. Finally, if you go to IlliniGuys.com, you join there, you're going to get all the inside information. You'll get all the news, all the notes, all the stats, everything like that. Plus, you go back into our forums or our message boards, and you will be able to hear everything that's going on long before you read about it on Twitter. Let's just say things like, you know, Illinois might sign a guard who's decommitting from a power school, a blue blood school. Illini Guys subscribers knew weeks ago that this was going to happen. We didn't have to wait for somebody to put it out on Twitter. You got it early. So we would ask people, you know, again, if you want to be locked in on what's going on with the Illini, you need to be a member of Illini Guys. Heck, we've got people from other websites who are members of our site. So with that, I am going to say go Illini, and it's going to be an exciting game on Sunday, March 20th at 11:10 a.m. We're hoping the Illini do well, but they're up against a formidable Houston Cougars team. Good luck, Illini, and go.